do, that he's prepared in advance for us to do, including sharing Jesus with others. And along with all of these gifts that he's given us, all of the things that make up you in your unique constellation of gifts and talents, alongside all of those things, we've been given a responsibility for them. When you're given something, it's given over to you, and you have a responsibility for it. And it's clear from the Bible that God expects us to invest our talents, our resources, and our time and our money, everything he's given us, into the people and the places that he's put us in, the people that he brings us into contact with. And if people's lives are somehow not altered by that, if they're not touched in any way, if the kingdom of God fails to come into the place where we are through our actions and through the application of all of the things that God has given us, then we're not yet representing the kingdom of God effectively. And I must pause at that point just to make something clear. Because if you are measuring your worth on your ability to influence others or on how effective you feel in bringing God's kingdom into this world, then you need to be a little bit careful, because God does not count your worth based on your works. So I'm just juxtaposing what I'm saying here, making sure that that truth doesn't get lost in what I'm saying. Doing more for him and his kingdom will not increase your standing with God. What we can do and what we're called to do is to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to continue daily on the road of sanctification. That's a word that means to make holy, to make ourselves into, through the work of the Holy Spirit, into the person that God knows we can be. The process of becoming more like Jesus, getting closer in character to the person God sees us as already. In order to do this, we've been given more than just the gifts inside us. We've been given a helper to guide us in the use and development of all these gifts, the Holy Spirit. He helps us to access the divine wisdom and inspiration of God. So we have all of these things at our disposal. We have ourselves, all of these gifts that he's given us, and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us realize them over the period of our life. He is an essential part of us growing into maturity as Christians and avoiding the misuse and the waste of the time, money, resources, abilities, and everything we are, everything that we've been given. So, this is the question that we're posing. How do we become more like Jesus? How do we arrange our lives in a way where we can do all the things that we've been asked to do, you know, have a job, raise children, whatever it is that God has put before you to do, all of those things, and still have time somehow and the knowledge, the understanding of how to affect people around us and to share Jesus when we have the opportunity to bring the kingdom of God to bear on the world around us in this town of Warsaw. We do it by partnering with the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit. Want to have the courage and wisdom to talk to someone about Jesus? Ask the Holy Spirit. The Bible, let's turn to the Bible. The Bible, Mark 13, verse 11, we'll just look there to start with. We're going to go all over, so you might not be able to follow along unless you're some kind of pro Bible page turner. But everything I speak, hopefully, or at least most of it, will be up on the screen. I'm struggling here in the light. So yeah, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. This is in the context of being arrested and persecuted for knowing Jesus. Maybe not something that we will ever really go through. Certainly not in the context of which the that Bible passage is written, but I think it's still relevant, right? When we come to share Jesus, when we come to speak about him, well, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in, it's through the Holy Spirit that we speak. This should give us confidence. Do you need to gain patience, kindness, self-control, any other spiritual gift? Guess what? It's the same. Ask the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive the wisdom to know how to structure your time and how much of it to give to the different activities in your daily life, to avoid stress and overloading yourself, to structure your finances and be inspired in generosity, ask the Holy Spirit. Seeking him and his guidance for our lives is the only way I know of to truly find yourself moving in the direction that God intends for you, and this will include the management of your gifts, time, money, and resources. So if we're going to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance, if the Holy Spirit is who we're talking about today, then I felt led to find out a little bit more about him, to look, to take a whistle-stop tour, if you like, of the New Testament and remind ourselves of who it is that we're talking about. Who are we asking into our lives? What does he bring that is, you know, that we can define through the scriptures? This is the Holy Spirit. This is what he does. This is what he brings. And I include some of them here. So don't try to follow along in your Bibles, honestly. We're going to jump all over. So from John 3, we know that it is by the Holy Spirit that we were born again. Truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, Jesus brings to life this idea of being born twice. Born not only physically, but spiritually. This is by the Holy Spirit. We know from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. If we hope to speak to anybody about Jesus and declare the gospel, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's not possible to do it any other way. We know from Romans 8, verse 13, that only by the Holy Spirit can we put to death the deeds of the body and live. Without this work of the Spirit, we perish. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. There's this. We've already got the concept of being born again, but here now the concept of be born again or die. By the Holy Spirit we live. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. This applies to us as much as it did to the Thessalonians. In all our effort to pursue holiness, it's only possible because sanctification is by the Spirit. All of our efforts to become more mature, to know what to do with our life, all of our efforts to gain wisdom, to try and answer the questions in our life, are only possible because sanctification is by the Spirit. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. We know from Ephesians 1:17 that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. I keep asking that the God of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Again, if we're looking for what to do, what to say, how to do things, where to go, we look to the Holy Spirit in the knowledge that we will be hopelessly foolish in this life without his ministry. We know from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that to each believer is given the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. Some scriptures say the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we know from Romans 8, verse 11, that if the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And I read that and I think back to what God's already been saying to us this morning through Tim, the valley of dry bones. The verse there in the Bible there says, the word of God is life. The valley of dry bones. It often feels like we're in a valley. It often feels like we're just not going anywhere, not moving. But this passage in the Valley of Dry Bones, it's like a prophecy, a prophecy of us. It's a prophecy of the whole kingdom of Israel. God breathing life into people through His Word, through the Word of Life, via the Holy Spirit, and raising an army. This is not a prophecy not only of Israel, but for us. It's us. This is the people in this church. So, I mean, we've only just looked at a few verses there, and already we see that without the Holy Spirit, we have no new birth, no confession of the Lordship of Christ, no victory over sin, no progress in sanctification, becoming more holy, becoming more mature, no spiritual wisdom, no spiritual gifts, and no resurrection from the dead. No life. Those valley of dry bones will remain dry bones and nothing more. Not able to speak, not able to move, not able to do anything. Why would we not then seek such a person? The fullness of an experience of this person. Why would we not seek him with all our heart and all our strength? Some people might respond, well, because we already have him, right? We already have the Holy Spirit, and that's true. But then Paul says in Ephesians, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. He says it because not everybody in this world is filled with the Spirit, and none of us are filled continually. It's a loving command for us to seek it. Be filled with the Spirit. Seek him. Seek the fullness of all the Spirit can be and do for you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Seek the Spirit. And how can we do that is what we come to. Because this has to be something that we can apply, right? We can look at the Holy Spirit and we can say, yes, he does all of these things for me. I can see that he's the way for me to understand how to live my life. But how can I receive more of him? And I can't pretend to offer advice from my own life on that subject, because I'm just trying to figure it out myself. I don't do a great job from day to day, but much of what I'm saying today is taken from people who have been there and lived a life full of the Holy Spirit. And these, I'm going to go through four points of application in seeking the Holy Spirit, and they come from John Piper, truly a hero of the faith and a well-renowned theologian. So these is his advice and his words based on a lifetime of doing this. And he says there's four things. The first is meditate on what God has said in the Spirit-inspired scriptures. Meditate on what God has said in the Bible. And this was incredibly eye-opening for me to realize that God has established a life-giving connection between the Holy Spirit and His Word. And I think I understood this before, but I've sort of gained a new appreciation of it in putting this together. Jesus said in John 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The words that I speak are spirit and life. Now, well, we can consider the parallel then between these two passages, both written by Paul, one to the Ephesians, one to the Colossians, and they're saying the same thing. It's one says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. The other says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. They're the same thing. They're interchangeable. And the only thing that's different about the two really is this starting point, be filled with the Spirit and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul understands that they're one and the same thing, that they're linked. You can switch the two out. Let the command, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, stands in the place of the command, be filled in the Spirit, because the indwelling of the word is the way we experience the indwelling Spirit. If you want to be, in other words, if you want to be full of the Spirit, pursue the fullness of the Word of God. The second is to believe it. It's not going to do you a great deal of good just to read it. I mean, I think if you read the Bible and kept reading it, you'd come to believe it anyway because it's powerful. The testimony of the Spirit would work on you. But honestly, believe what you hear and see in the Word. In Galatians 3, verse 5, Paul asks, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? A rhetorical question, if ever one was posed. So the Holy Spirit is supplied to us and works powerfully in us as we hear the word with faith, as we believe it. And Galatians 3:14 says that we receive the promised Spirit through faith. So as we meditate on the word of God, faith comes by that word. And in and by this faith, we experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we seek Him, we seek the Holy Spirit by meditating on the Word, hearing, and believing what we see and hear. Step three, hold fast in obedience to what you have heard and believed. Because it's not enough just to hear. It's not enough just to hear and believe. We have to hear, believe, and act in obedience. One of the disciples asks Jesus in John 14:22, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If you keep my word, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. For those who love Christ and keep his word, there's this special intimacy of love given by the Father. And the Father and the Son draw close with an unusual fullness and sweetness, and they do so by the Spirit. If anyone keeps God's word, holds fast to it as a treasure in obedience, he will not quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit, but will know the fullness and sweetness of fellowship with the Father and the Son by the Spirit. And the final point is desire the Spirit, or ask for it, actually. Meditate on the word, hear the word, believe the word, obey the word, and just ask. Desire. In all of this meditating, believing, and obeying, desire all that God is for you and has for you in him. Thirst for him. And now we come full circle back to what Heidi was speaking on 2 weeks ago with Jesus sitting at a well with a Samaritan woman, talking in riddles about how he was going to supply her with everlasting water, with life, if only she would ask for it. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Don't wait to see his fullness. Seek it. Seek him. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asked for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is your Father, and this is his greatest gift, himself and his Son, through the Spirit. He has yet more of himself to give to those who ask and keep on asking until he comes or calls. And that's it. That's all I have. The answer to what we want from this life, to become more like Jesus, to bring his kingdom into this place in Warsaw, is to prioritize the Bible. He will provide life through it, not just life for us. A stream of living water in the desert, as James stood up and spoke from today, Isaiah. So what have we heard? We've been given gifts, resources, opportunities from God. He invites us into partnering with him to bring his kingdom into Warsaw. He invites us to do this as we work together with him on growing into maturity. All of these things come through the Holy Spirit in our lives at work. How do we get the Holy Spirit? We read the Word of God, we believe what we read, we obey what we read, and we ask for him. Do these things and we will find ourselves growing in confidence as Christians. We will find ourselves as a valley of dry bones, turning into an army, a picture of the church at work, an incredible prophecy of what we were to become. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you didn't leave it up to us. Thank you that you gave us your word, that you brought us to life with your word, that even in the beginning, Lord, everything that we see around us came because you breathed out and you spoke life. You spoke life, and you've spoken life into every one of us in this room. Father, we thank you for your God-breathed life, for your Spirit that's at work amongst us, that's holding us together, that's breathing us, that's building us into an army from people who are just dry bones. All that potential, Lord, that you've given us, all of the things that we've desired, all of the dreams and the thoughts of our hearts, our innermost beings that you've put in there, thank you that you partner with us, that you want to partner with us in growing that into looking more like your Son. Thank you that we have that opportunity to do that. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom. I ask that you'd give us a new experience of the Holy Spirit today. That Father, as we call out to you, as we seek you, as we seek your Spirit, not only for ourselves, but for the place where we are, the place that you've put us, because we want to make a difference, because we love you. Father, I ask that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit, that you'd draw us again afresh into your word, that it would become a wellspring of life for us, that we would be able to prioritize our time, to make space for your word, for your life in our day-to-day lives. Father, we thank you. We honor you. In your name, Jesus, and for your glory. Amen.